Mishnah in Arvi Psachim Kufte Zayin Amid Aleph states the following: Mazgulo Kosheni V'kan HaBen Shoel. The second cuss begins the Magid, and V'kan HaBen Shoel Oviv V'yein Daito B'ben Oviv Malamdo Manishtana Laila Azemi Kolei Lilos, etc., etc. And the Mishnah enumerates all the questions of the Manishtana. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, Ton Rabbanon, Chacham Bino Sho'alo, V'im Eino Chacham Ishto Sho'aloso, V'im Lavu Sho'alos Atzmo, Afilu Shnei Talmid Chachamim, Sheyodim V'Hilchus HaPesach, Sho'alim Zela Zeh, Manishtan, etc. We see clearly that the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, culminating with the end of Magid, is framed within the framework of She'elo Tshuva. It's got to be Derech She'elo Tshuva. And we can certainly suggest, and this is intuitive, that the Leil HaSeder, the Vigadat L'Bincha, is the paradigm for Chinuch, for transmission of Torah. And as such, the Torah should be taught b'derech she'elo tshuva. The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz u'Matzah writes, and we'll read it inside of Mirtz Hashem, that just as the Pasuk says, Chanoch l'nar al pi darko, the Rambam says, Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, Mitzvah Lodiyah Labanim, etc., etc., Ulefi daito shel ben oviv malamdo, keitzad? And the Rambam goes on to tell you that it's lefi daito shel ben. There's no one single objective method in which we should teach our children. It's got to fit the child. It's got to be a custom made approach that is subjective, that fits the child. That's what chinuch is all about. And therefore we understand very well She'ela U'tshuva. Now, I would like to divide our discussion into two parts. First is a halachic discussion, and second, more of Jewish thought, Jewish philosophy. In terms of the halacha, if we open the Ramah in Siman Tav Ayin Gimel, Sif Zayin, he clearly states that the Manishtan is going to be asked by the child. HaBen, or if there's no Ben, HaIsha, Sholim Manishtana. Fiyaz Maschilim Lomar Avadim Ayinu. No one else has to recite the Manishtan except for the child, or if there's no child in his absence, then the wife. And that's the simple reading of the Sugya, Im Sakim on Kuf Tezvav Amid Beis, Kuf Tezayin. But let's read carefully the language of the Rambam. And by introduction, let's make sure we know that the Rambam doesn't have our minog, our custom, that everybody at the Seder reads the Haggadah. For the Rambam, there's somebody called the Korei. He's the one who's reading the Haggadah. The Rambam repeats himself about the Korei. And here, in Perek Ches, Milchus Chametz u'Matzah, Halacha Beis, the Rambam writes, after the Akiras HaShulchan, Mozgim Kol Sheni, V'kan HaBen Shoel, and here, the son will ask. And then he says, V'omer HaKorei, Manishtan HaLeila Zeh, Mikol HaLeilos. The implication clearly in the Rambam is that the Ben will be Shoel, but he'll ask his own question, whatever's bothering his mind, his own curiosity. It's the Korei who's going to read Manishtana. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. So Manishtana becomes a formal requirement that's part of the Haggadah and should be recited by the Korei. So the Ben is not going to ask the Manishtana. He'll ask whatever bothers him. And it's the Kore who reads the Manishtana. Now, we don't have a Manishtana in our time, so perhaps the minute would be that everybody should be reading the Manishtana. Kol HaMesuvim. And I'd like to quote to you from, there are many different people that transcribe Rav Soloveitchik's Torah on Agada. This, what I'm about to share with you, is quite popular in many of the writings, but I'm going to read it to you from the Haggadah Shel Pesach Siach HaGrid. And he tells us first and foremost that Rav Chaim had this meaning that all the Mesubim would recite Manishtana. And Rav Soloveitchik thought that in order to understand why the Rambam has the Kore read the Manishtana, we're going to have to see that when the Pasuk says, Vayaki Shalchan Bincha, and it means that the Torah is describing the child asking questions, every child has to ask his own question. And the Sipri Yetzis Mitzrayim has to be B'derech She'elo Tshuva, that's for sure. And there may be two halachas over here. That one halach is Ki Yishalcha Bincha, and every child, as we said, asks his own question. There's another halacha that Sipri Yetzis Mitzrayim itself requires Derech She'elo Tshuva, and the Kore is the one who's going to ask those questions to make sure that the Sipri Yetzis Mitzrayim is B'derech She'elo Tshuva. And in effect, the Rambam is answering a very basic question. If the, as the Rambam would codify it, if the child is asking the Manishtana, how does he know that we're going to eat matzah on this night? I mean, the Manishtana is recited at the very beginning of Magid, way before Motzi Matzah. In fact, how can he even ask questions about the Morar? The Morar is going to come way later, after Magid. Even the Shtei Piyamim of Tevila, of Tibul, is going to come later on. In truth, according to one man, the Omer, the Gemara Pesachim, the child hasn't even witnessed Haseba yet, because Haseba is only on the second set of Kosos, the third and fourth Kosos. So you could possibly respond that maybe the child is perplexed because he sees the Kara. They brought out to the Shulchan a Kara, and on it there's matzah, there's morar, there's charoses for dipping. And perhaps he sees that there's Haseba, according to the Rama, maybe there's Haseba throughout the reading of the Haggadah. I don't know, the Rama doesn't spell that out. And the karpas, which according to the Rambam sheet is dipped into charoses, well, the child says, well, they brought a charoses in the shulchan, it must be that they're going to do a tibul in the charoses. Now, he sees that they organized the haseva, so maybe that's what's bothering his mind. But the Rambam's approach is totally different. The Rambam just simply avoids all those questions, all those objections, because according to the Rambam, it's not the Ben who's asking the Manishtana, it's the Kore. And the Kore is asking it based on the structure of the Haggadah. He knows what's coming around the Ben. So there's no question, how does the Ben ask these questions? He hasn't even seen them. The Ben is not asking these questions. He's not asking about the Mitzvah Salayla. He hasn't seen the Mitzvah Salayla. He's asking on whatever bothers his mind. The Kore itself is asking this question. Now, before we try to understand the nature of Manishtana and its purpose, let's raise a question about the text of the Manishtana. There seems to be a line here, an opening line, in fact, that's completely superfluous. Why do we have to say Manishtana Laila Zemi Kali Los, etc. Kali Los, etc.? Why not just say simply, let's go straight to the point. Let's ask Lama Ochlim Matza Balelze. Well, why do we need the Kefal Loshan and repeat ourselves Manishtana Laila Zemi Kali Los, Kali Los, etc., etc.? So now we're about to present a pretty revolutionary idea about what the Manishtana is all about, the essence of the Manishtana. We're revealing a secret here based on the Rambam's definition of the mitzvah saseh of Sipiyatzis Mitzrayim. And we want to look at two different Rambams. We'll start with the Rambam of the Mishnah Torah, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah, Lesaper Benisim, V'Niflo, Shenasu, Avoseinu B'Mitzrayim, V'Leil Chamish Asar Benisan. So this is a Mitzvah Saseh to talk about the miracles that were performed at the time of our forefathers in Mitzrayim on the night of the 15th of Nisan. Now, the Rambam says Shenemar, if we would close our eyes and guess what the Shenemar is going to be, the source in the Torah for this mitzvah of Sipur, we would all say, we got it to the Bincha. The Rambam, in fact, quotes a different source. Later on, he's going to quote Vigat et al-Bincha to shed a light on that source itself, on that pasuk itself. But the pasuk that the Rambam quotes is Zochar es hayom hazeh asher yatzasim mitzrayim. That we should remember the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Let me read it again inside. This is Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph. So is Kedai Osios Machimos, Mitzvah Seishal Torah, Lesapir, Nisim, and Niflosh, and Asla, was saying, Mitzvah, Belech, Amishas, and Menisha, Nemar, Zohar, Sayom, Azeh, Asher, Yotzosem, Mimitzrayim. There it is. You can't be more explicit than that. But then, we would ask the following question, and the Rambam himself is going to address this question in just a second. How do you know that Zochar es hayom hazeh asher yatzasim Mitzrayim is referring to the night of the 15th? For that, the Rambam is going to need to plug in an embellishment clause here through Vigadat HaBincha. But here's what really bothers us. The Rambam then goes on to say, K'mo shenemar, Zochar es yom hashabbos. Now, why does the Rambam need Zochar es yom hashabbos? How does the Rambam has a hekesh? You can take a look in the Mefarshim and see the Makoros of the Rambam. A hekesh between two Zochars. Zochar es hayom hazeh sheyatzasim Mitzrayim and Zochar es yom hashabbos. What is the Rambam deriving from Zochar es yom hashabbos? How does that shed a light on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? And perhaps to find an answer to that question, we need another Rambam. And this is the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs defining the mitzvah of Zochar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. And the Rambam writes in Mitzvah Kuf Nun Hei, He should tzivonu l'kadesh es HaShabbos, v'lomar dvorim v'knisosu v'yitziyosu, nazkir bom yitzias Mitzrayim, v'kiddush hayom. And listen to the next few words. These are the key words. Umaloso vehibodlo mishar hayomim akodmim venu vaboim achrov. The Rambam says that in order to sanctify the Shabbos, we have to speak. Now the fact that we have to speak, and the Rambam omits the yayin, that's the Rambam l'shitoso, because the Rambam in Perek Chof Tes, Mihilcha Shabbos, when he defines the mitzvah of Zochar es yom hashabbos l'kadsho, the Rambam writes, let's see it inside, Mitzvah haseh min haTorah l'kadesh es yom hashabbos bidvarim. The Rambam makes no mention of Yayin. Yayin becomes a drabbanon, but as far as the Doraisa is concerned, Mitzvah haseh min haTorah l'kadesh es yom hashabbos bidvarim, shenevach Zochar es yom hashabbos l'kadsho, klomar, zochreyu zechiras shevach v'kiddush. So what is shevach v'kiddush? You have to, in some sense, you have to praise the Shabbos, and you have to set it aside. You know, kiddush always means when you designate something and give it a special status. And here in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he embellishes it a little bit by saying that maloso, we have to nazkir, but we have to mention the maloso, the special nature of Shabbos, v'hi bodlo, mishar hayomim. And perhaps, you know, if you look in the mitzvah of Zechira of Zochar es yom hashabbos l'kadsho d'oraisa, you'll see it in the tefillah, in the Ma'ariv, and it says there, after kiddushta, and you've sanctified and separated this day from other days. Now, let's see if that sheds a light on the mitzvah of Sipiyutis Mitzrayim. Maybe that's what the Ram wants to derive. That just like with regard to Zochas Yom HaShavos L'Kadsho, which is Chiras Shevach V'Kiddush, and we need to speak about the Malosov V'Hibodlo Mishara Yomim, so too, with regard to Sipiyutis Mitzrayim, which we derive from Zohar and Kiddush, just like the Zohar here and the Zohar and Kiddush, the mitzvah according to the Rambam is not just to be Mesapet to tell the stories of the Nisim, but also we have to declare that this night, the night of Tesvav V'Nisan, is Muvdal U'Mufrash Mikol Shar HaYomim Mikol Shar HaLelos. This Laila is different than every other night. And this is the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But my question here is, where do we have this in Haggadah? At what point do we actually set aside this night and describe it as Muvdal U'Mufrash, separated from all the days, all the nights? And the answer is that the Rambam holds that who's reciting the Manishtana? We said the Korei Haggadah is reciting the Manishtana. The Ben is asking his own questions. Whatever bothers him, whatever perturbs his mind. But why is the Korei reciting Manishtana? Because Sipiyutis Mitzrayim requires not only Derech Sheilu Tshuva, that's one din, and that certainly could be fulfilled with the Ben asking his own personal questions, but there's another din of Manishtana. And that is a description of the day. We're describing the day as Mufrash U'Muvdal Mishar HaYomim. Mishar HaLelos again. I should say Lelos to be more precise. Here, the Manishtana is declaring that this is different. This night is different. Why? Because on this night we have mitzvos. We have unique mitzvos. We have mitzvah of matzah, we have the mitzvah of morar, we have mitzvah of eseva, which is Sipiyutis Mitzrayim, we have mitzvah of tibul. All these are special mitzvahs that only apply this night. Hence, this night is endowed with a special sanctity, and the secret of that sanctity lies in the four aspects of the Manishtana. These are the mitzvahs of Laila. And therefore, when we say Manishtana Laila Hazeh, we're really asking, well, why is this night Muvdal U'Mufrash Mishar HaLelos? What makes it a Maila? And the answer is, HaLaila Hazeh, Kulo Matzah. We're not eating chametz, we're eating matzah. This night is Muvdal U'Mufrash Mishar HaLelos because we eat matzah, we only eat matzah. We fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Same thing is for the other questions as well. So in other words, the question of Manishtana Laila Hazeh is a question that's really coming to answer in four different ways how this night is singular, how it's different than all the other nights. And it could very well be that according to the Rambam Shita, Manishtana is not really a question, it's Ba Manishtana. In what way or in what ways is this night different? Is it unique? What are the unique aspects of this night, the new chiyuvim, the new mitzvahs? And the answer is the fourfold answer of the Manishtana. On other nights of the year, we eat both matzah and chametz, we eat mora and shar yirakos, etc. So this night is shone u'muvdal mishar halelos, and that's going to be the fulfillment of Zochar es hayom asher yatzasi mitzrayim. Then you have a mitzvah of Igadat L'Bincha, of Kiyashachol Bincha, and that's the emphasis on the Kiyum of She'ela, when the Ben asks his own questions. Interesting is that when the Rambam in Perek Zayin Halacha Beis that we saw earlier, Lefi Daita Shel Ben of Malamdo Ketzad, he concludes that halacha by saying that when we answer the son, we say, Kulano ayinu avodim, kamo shivchazu, kamo evidze, etc. Ubalaila hazeh, podo sonu akadosh baruch hu, vayotzeinu lecherus. That halach itself is apparently derived from the Hekesh to Zochas Yom HaShavos L'Kadsho. That we have to mention that this is the Shabbos, and this is the night in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Now, the Rambam says, "Ubalayla zeh pada Hashem osanu." Where do we fulfill that in the Haggadah? That it's Balayla zeh that God took us out. And the answer is, that's the Manishtana. That After we ask the four questions, we answer Avodim Ayinu Lefarav Mitzrayim Yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu Mishom Biyad Chazon Kisun Torah HaLayla Zenish Tanu Mikol HaLeilos. That's what we're telling him. On this night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Podel Sanu, and he took us out L'Cheiris, and from the Shelu Tshuva of the Manish Tana, we derive that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Podel Sanu B'Layla Hazeh. Ad Khan, this is the halacha part. And now I'd want to go on to the hashkafa part. We said that the mitzvah of Sipri Tzisrayim fundamentally is al yidei she'ela u'tshuva. And if he can't find someone to ask him, he'll have to ask himself. This is a kiyum of umitalmida yosem mikulam. The Gemara in Tainus on Daf Zayin says that we learn more from that talmidim who ask us questions than we learn from anyone else. They push us. This is the paradigm of Jewish education. The she'ela and this tshuva. But we would like to ask two questions. Is there something deeper here, perhaps below the surface, that Chachamim enacted Sipri Tzisrayim, the Takana was Dafka B'derech she'elo tshuva? And furthermore, why are there four questions? Is there some significance to the number four? In order to analyze this, we begin with a parasha that opens up in the history of man the question, the idea of a she'ela. What is a she'ela? Who asks the question? Which is the first being on the face of the earth that asks a question to man? And what is the agenda? What is the purpose of that question? And I believe that Rashi fills in the answer here at the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, Perek Gimel, V'Nachash Haya Arom, Arum Mikol Chayasa Sadeh She'asa Hashem Elokim. V'Yomer El Ha'isha, Af Ki Amar Elokim Lo Tochlu Mikol Eitz Hagan? And basically, facetiously, the Nachash is asking Chava, almost engaging her in conversation, Did the divine being tell you, enjoin you from eating mikol eitz hagan? So Rashi says, afal pisha rosam ochlim mishar haperos. What a stupid question. Here the Torah is describing the Nachash as arum mikol chayis asadi. You expect that he would have passed some basic intelligence level question. And yet he's asking, did Hashem enjoin you from eating all the eitz hagan? I mean, you see that all the mechav are eating from the eitz hagan. And Rashi answers that hirba aleha dvarim kedesha tishivenu v'yavo l'daber bi'oso ha'etz. He was cleverly drawing her into a conversation. He was asking her a question, knowing that the underlying premise of that question is incorrect, it's false. But he's waiting for her to contradict him so that he can now allure her to understand that there's a basic question here about God's intention. And the pasuk says, "V'tomer yishal nachash mipri eitz hagan nochal." God permits us to eat from the pri eitz hagan. Mipri eitz asher b'toch hagan. There's one particular singular eitz that we're not allowed to eat from. Amar l'kim lo sochlu mimenu. And then, of course, she adds what she shouldn't eat. Karamosim korei kol sigubo, etc. V'yomer nachash al yishal lo mos temusun. Don't attribute to God all these good purposes. Ki odelu kim, God is a jealous God. Ki biyomachol chem imenu, if you eat from this particular eitz, v'nifkachu einechem v'yisam kelukim yodei tov v'ra. He's in a sense questioning, why would God tell you not to eat from that eitz? Apparently he doesn't want you to eat from that eitz because he's not a good God, he's a bad God. He's a jealous God. He doesn't want you to be kelukim v'yisam kelukim yodei tov v'ra. So he allures her through his question about why God prohibits the eating from the Eitz Hadas to allow him to influence her and to seep into her brain a desire for that tree which Hashem enjoined them not to eat from. Telling her it's for her benefit to eat from it. God is not working on your behalf, he's working against your interest. So if you analyze this she'ela, this question of the Nachash, the first question in history, this question is really a question that's meant to lead to kfira, to rebellion. This is a question that comes from
a place of evil, of Sitra Achra, of Yetzahara, try to get Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. This is the paradigm of She'ela. This is the danger inherent in asking a question. And we're going to see the repercussions of this question and this rebellion throughout the generations. I'd like to quote to you two comments of the Zohar. So let's mention the Zohar, and this you'll see in the Zohar Chadash, Kuf Lamed Ches, Lamed Beis, Dibra Masel Posek Rabbi Shimon, and it's quoted here in the Shvili Pinchas, Uparo Iu Diukna Denochash Chayve. Basically, the Zohar has a theory, a thesis, that Nochash HaKadmoni reappears throughout the history of man in different forms, always rebelling against God, always asking the question that comes from Rishus, that comes from evil, that wants to undermine our faith, our belief in God. We have it in the Dor HaMabul, and afterwards in the Dor HaFloga, they're going to build a Migdal, they're going to battle against God. We're going to have it in Sdom Vamora. All this rebellion until finally it reaches its apex in Paro. Vayomer Paro, Mi Hashem. Here's the question of questions from the perspective of evil. Who is God? Asher Eshma Bekolo, L'shalech Eshcholo Yadati Es Hashem. Where is your God? Is he involved? Does he supervise? Does he have any hashgacha in what you're doing? Does he intervene on behalf of, you know, when the Russians sent up an astronaut into space and he sent back a message, I look for God and I couldn't find him anywhere? Even the Amaleki of Sphakis somehow penetrates into Klal Yisrael. The Nachash, according to the Zohar, Zohar Chodesh in Tikkunei Kedma, says that the Nachash is Samoel, he's Amalek, and he somehow penetrates into the mind of Klal Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom, with the Machsheves Pigul. And therefore, if you take a look a little bit beyond the beginning parashios, you'll see, look in Shmos Yud Zion, and Klal Yisrael declare, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin. Where is God? This is the question of evil. But here we have to introduce a principle that's codified in a pasuk in Koheles by Shlomo Mel, Gam et zelu mazeh asalukim. Zeluma says a fundamental principle for anything that's on the Tzad HaTuma, there's something parallel on the Tzad HaKedusha. And here we look at She'elah question at a different level. And this is the question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses to Adam HaRishon after he eats the Chet, after he violates the Chet. One word, Ayeka. What is Hashem asking Ayeka? I want to tell you a story. We all like to hear a story. Reb Shnei Zalmi Miladi, the first Rebbe of Lubavitch, was tattled on. His enemies, his adversaries, told on him to the kingship, and they put him in jail in the capital city of Petersburg. And the Sar Beis Hasorei, who was in charge of the inmates, he noticed that that he's got some holy man over here, this from Shnei Zalmi Miladi. So he asked him one question. He said, what is God saying, Ayeka, where are you, man? God doesn't know where man is. And the Baal HaTanya, with all his Eish Kodesh, he answered the following. God wasn't asking Ayeka, where are you? In a physical sense, materially, where you're located on the face of the earth. That he knew God. But Ayeka, meaning, look how you've fallen. Where are you? You were created in a world of ideal perfection. You were given and granted all the qualities that you need. And look how you fell from high to low. Before the chet, you were considered like the malachim. They worshipped you. They idolized you. And now look who you are. Ayeka. What's the agenda? What's the purpose of God's question? Not to bring man to rebellion, Chalila, but on the contrary, to be ma'or, a person to tshuva. That's the ayeka. Make a recognition, evaluate yourself, be mahar b'tshuva. Recognize how you've fallen, how you haven't reached your potential, and there's so many greater heights that you can reach. That's the zelu mazeh, that's the question of Hashem, which is keneged the question of of the Nochash HaKadmoni and the question of Paro. It's a question of Ayeka, where are you? How can you improve yourself? How can you do better? And we think and we analyze the repercussions of Adam and Chava rebelling against God by eating from the Eitz Hadas, by giving in to this question of the Nochash HaKadmoni. Why does God command you not to eat? And now man is changed. Man's going to have doubts. In the original creation of man, God places man, Vayavarech el osam elokim, vayom lehem elokim pu ravu mil vasaretz kivshur v'dubit gas hayom. Man is king. Vayita Hashem elokim gan v'yedem v'kedem v'yosem shom esa'odem asha yotzar. Man is meant to live to immortality. He's meant to see God wherever he turns. It's a perfect world. And then Vayitzav Elokim al Adam lemer kol eitz hadas gan v'eitz hadas tovar lo sochal mimenu. And now you bring Misa into the world. You're no longer immortal. You change the nature of the world, of the universe, the world that you live in. The Nachash, the cursed Nachash, who asked the question to Chava, and as a result of that question, brought Chava to the state of rebellion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prohibited them from eating, and the Nachash says, from all peros, all priagan. And that question itself has a certain element of leitzonus to it, a certain cynicism, a certain probing challenge. Why did God prohibit you from eating the fruits? And then you'll answer, well, God only prohibited you from one fruit, so I'll ask you, why did he prohibit you from this fruit? And so forth and so on. And the She'ela creates a whole domino theory, and man reaches the lowest level. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to man and says, Ayeka, a whole different type of a question. A question out of corruption and tumah, but rather the corruption of Kedusha and sanctity. Elevate yourself. Ayeka, where are you? Not in the physical sense, but where are you spiritually? How did you fall so low? Because of the influence and the impact of the Nochash HaKadmoni. Now, I'd like to share with you the great Haflo is the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer lived 120 years ago, 150 years ago. But I want to show you something about the psicha to the Hafla on Masechet Ksubis of Rav Horovitz. I believe his name was Pinchas Halevi Horovitz, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, about the concept of a she'ela, of a question. And I want to show you how the Hafla developed this idea and how it influenced the Chassam Sofer, and he took it one step further than his Rebbe. The Hafla writes that in Bali Odomei Zakusha B'Toroso Yeda Ki Me'es Hashem Ha'isa Zos, that a question that arises in the mind of a student of Torah, it is God who planted that question in his mind. And why? Ki Rotza Lahaloso Maila L'Maila Elyona B'Torah B'Mitzvahs Ve'ilulei shechavetz Hashem lahagdil Torah saladira lo hayabal liyadu kusha v'safek. An amazing chiddush. He says that the key of keys to understand the Torah on a deeper level is questions. Some people just read the Torah and they translate it. That's not what it's all about. It's all about asking questions, all about curiosity. My Rebbe would get more gishmak over a good question than over an answer. And the Hafla uses this yesod to interpret homiletically a number of different parashiyos in the Torah. One parasha, which is a little perplexing, is the aftermath of Yetzias Mitzrayim in Shmos Tesvav, Vayomer, Im Shoma Tishma Lekol Hashem Elokecha Vayosha Bein of Taasev Azantul Mitzosov Ushmarta Kol Chukov Kol Amachla Asher Samti V'Mitzrayim Lo Osim Olecha. On the one hand, in the Reish, Hashem promises that he won't bring about the machla of Mitzrayim onto Bnei Yisrael. On the other hand, he says, Ani Hashem Rofecha, as if to say there will be a machla, and I will bring about a refuah. You know, you go to a physician when you're sick, But on the in the Reisha, Hashem says that Lo Asim Alech, I won't bring upon you the machla. Says the Hafla, the pshat is that this machla is a kind of question that sometimes, if it comes because it's from a source of tumah, then it's something very upsetting. But if on the other hand you appreciate that this machla is something that could be converted into a refuah, if Hashem will help you with siyata d'shmaya, that from this question you could lead to a deeper understanding of Torah. It's coming lahalos olos agos haTorah. It's called machla sher samti b'mitzrayim. When Paro asked the question, "Vi Hashem, who is God?" Asher esh malkolo, that kind of question, "Lo asim alech," I won't place upon you. What kind of question might disturb your mind and arouse your curiosity? That's the kind of question that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kedusha, lasok b'torah, b'kushos hatzumas b'torah, ki ani Hashem rofecha. Hashem is going to be mala you to a higher level in the vasogas haTorah as a result of this kusha. And the Hafla wants to answer another question in a different parsha, and that is the parsha of Zaken Mamre. You'll take a look in Parsha Shoftim in Dvarim Yud Zayin. It says ki polei mimcha davar lemishpat, etc., etc. Vekamtov alisa. He says ki polei mimcha davar lemishpat means you have a mishpat which is clear and you should understand its logic, but yet ki polei mimcha, you have a kasha, and it's now unclear to you. Is vekamtov alisa as a result of the pele of the ki yafla mimcha, of the kasha that you have, vekamtov alisa, you'll rise to a higher level, a more profound level of your understanding of Torah. This is the greatness of a question. And a third parsha that he interprets homiletically is the parsha of Yisro, when Yisro recommends that adav asher yikshe mimcha, a difficult question, mimchem, excuse me, is takriven a lie? And that's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu al Pipshat, but homiletically interprets it as takriven a lie means get close to Hashem. When you have a dover yikshem imchem, something that's questioned, don't be afraid of questions. Entertain questions, appreciate them. Realize that they are a stepping stone, a springboard to takriven a lie, to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the question is all about. This is the beautiful presentation of the Hafla. And his great Talmud, his disciple, the Ksam Sofer, takes it even one step further. The Gemara says in Megillah, on Daf Vav Amud Beis, in Yomar Lecha Adam Yagati Velo Matzasi Al Tamin, but Yagati Matzasi Tamin. What's Yagati Matzasi? I mean, how can it be Yagati, which means you worked hard, you sweat, and yet matzasi, matzia is something that comes to you behesek hadas, without even working, without thinking. You find it, you chance upon it. Says Lechsam Sofer, if you're willing to face the questions that you have in learning as challenges, and you're willing to sweat and work hard, the yigio v'tircha, then yogati, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises you matzasi, I will grant you much more knowledge than you are capable of understanding on your own. He reveals new understandings of Torah, even for things that not commensurate to the work that he puts in. Reb Chaim Vital, on the other hand, quotes his Rebbe, which seems to be contradictory. And he asks his Rebbe, Reb Chaim Vital, why is it that you sweat so hard, you work so hard when you're learning Torah? And I could see you're breaking. Why? Why is it so much? And in order to answer this question, the Arizal gave Reb Chaim Vital a mashal. He said you can have a fruit, and the fruit is covered by a klipa. And sometimes that klipa, that covering, is very hard, very tough. It's hard to penetrate. You have to work very hard. But if you succeed, then you get to the pri itself. And he says that the situation of Klal Yisrael, and this all dates back to the, and it's a repercussion of the chet of Adam HaRishon, is that our situation of understanding and clarity in terms of Ruchaniyut is all klipa. It's all covered by barriers, and we have to break these klipos. And in order to do so, I have to sweat. Mezia zeh gedola nila. And that's what I'm working hard to break those klipos, to reveal the Torah. We need to work hard for that. In Pilpul, in Iyunat Torah, his bonus for Torah, the tachlis of Iyun is to break these klipos. The kushas are called klipos. And the Arizal develops a whole theory about how these klipos evolved and why it is that these are such challenges that put sfeikos in our mind about Torah. And it seems from the Arizal that this is contradictory to the approach of Afla and his Talmud, the Chasam Sofer, because they understood that Hashem puts these questions in our mind for a great purpose, as a challenge, so that we can reach a deeper level of Torah through these klipos. And Yeda me'es Hashem oisazo. So a person should understand, says the Afla, that it came from Hashem. But the Arizal say, no, the source is these kochos chitzonim, these tumah, these klipos. So how do we reconcile the two? But the answer is that as a result of the chet, man has these challenges. You know, in the ideal world, the Shangri-La of Gan Eden, in the original form and situation of man, man could understand without these questions. But klipos were created. And now we go through such difficult times with questions, with barriers that prevent us from understanding. But that's not a steer to the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says that these challenges are placed there by Hashem, part of a divine plan, in order to bring man to understand the Torah on a deeper level, to come up with new hasagos. The Yagati Matsasi, the Matsasi will be even greater than it's more than commensurate to the Yigiyah. It goes beyond the Yigiyah. And based on this, perhaps we can come back to our question, why Sipri Yitzis Mitzrayim is Biderch Shelos Uchuvos? We have to understand that Golos Mitzrayim was a preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. And that we know from the first encounter between Hashem and Moshe at the time of the Snen Shmos Gimel. V'zelecha ha'os ki anochi shalakticha bo'tziacha sa'omi Mitzrayim tavnus al gimel har hazeh. Rashi says, she'yetzi so'omi Mitzrayim b'schus ha'torah shasidim l'kabal har Sinai. So that what we do in Sipri Yitzis Mitzrayim in a sense is a preparation, a segue into Kabbalah Satorah, and Torah is going to be understood based on questions, and Hashem is going to plant those questions in our mind as a springboard for us to come and understand, reveal greater, deeper asagas in Torah. And all this is to undermine the question of the machla question, if you call it, of Paro mi Hashem asher eshma b'kolo. We want to find a question like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's question Ayeka that'll counter against the nachash and the tumah, the contaminated question of Mi Hashem, who is Hashem? Those questions of theology and theodicy that preoccupied mind and man's mind throughout history and plagued his mind. Now, in the ultimate paradigm of education, of chinuch, we go back to the question and answer period, and that's going to be the backbone and the essence of Sipri Yitzis Mitzrayim, to undermine and counter against any kind of she'ela of tumah and come up with something more positive, more holy, and that's going to be the she'ela tshuva. And perhaps we can begin to understand the significance of the number four. Remember, we asked at the beginning of the Shia, why dafka there are four questions to be asked in the Manish Tana. Well, in truth, if we reanalyze, revisit the parsha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the Chet approaching Adam HaRishon, we'll find that God asks not one question, Ayeka, but four questions. The second question is, Mi higid lecha ki iromata? The third question is, Hamina Eitz Asher Tzvi Sichol Abilti Achol Mimenu Achalta? And finally, the fourth question is, Mizos Mazos Asisa, and all these questions. Again, we can spend an hour trying to understand the difference and the nuance in the meaning of each question individually, but the sachakol, the common denominator of all these questions, is to bring man to evaluate himself and uplift himself to higher levels of Kedusha, to realize that he's fallen, he hasn't reached his potential. And the significance of the four questions here becomes a little bit more apparent when we study the parasha, the Bris Bein HaBesorim, in Parashas Lech Lecha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to Avram that as a result of man's fall, he's going to be challenged not once, not twice, not thrice, but four times over. And this is going to plague the Jewish people in four different Golios. Each Golios has its own unique approach to ask a question that comes from Tumah, a question of the Nachash HaKadmoni, of Paro, Mi Hashem. Again, if we had an hour, we would have to analyze each one of the four Golios. Number one, as the Medrash says at the beginning of Bereishis, there's Bavel, Mada, Yovan, and Edom, Vaisa Aretz Toz, Egolos Bavel, Bohu, Zugolos Madai, Choshek, Zugolos Yovan, Alpnei Tom, Zugolos Mamleches, Arusha, Edom. And there are four Golios here. And the Medrash says, V'hinei Emach, Hashecha, Gedolah, Nofelos, Olav, Avram Avinu is overwhelmed by fear, Emach, Zubavel, Hashecha, Zumadai, Gedolah, Zuyavan, Nofelos, Olai, Olav, Zu Edom. So these are the four Golios, Bavel, Madai, Yavan, V'Edom. And each one of these Golios, as we said before, parallels or tries to undermine another letter of the Yud Kei Vav Kei of Hashem's name. Bavel is connected to Yud, Madai connected to He, the first He, Yavan connected to Vav, Edom connected to second He. But Golus Mitzrayim, and this is the great insight of the Arizal in his Shara Psukim in Parashas Ki Teitzei, and he says that Mitzrayim is not included in the four because it's the Golus HaKolelis, you know, like you have the Av and the Toldos. So you have four Toldos of one major Golus, and that's Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim combines all these elements of Golus, all those dimensions of Tumah that try to undermine our belief in Hashem, Chas V'Shalom. They're all inherent in one single Golus, the Golus of Mitzrayim. Hence the famous Remez of the Chidah and the Pasuk in the beginning of Shmos, V'elu Shmos B'nei Yisrael HaBa'im Mitzrayim. If you take the word Ba'im, Beis, Aleph, Yud, Mem, Notrikan, Bavel, Edom, Yavan, Madai, a Remez to all the Golios, and that's Ba'im Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the Golos HaKoleles, and hence if there are four Golios inherent in Golos Mitzrayim, we need four Geulos. Each Geula corresponds to another Golos, and therefore we have Hotzesi, Vitzalti, Vigahalti, Vilakachti, all in Parshas Va'era. These are the four Golios, Keneged, the four Geulos, Keneged, the four Golios. And now we begin to understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Adam and Chava four questions. Because after the chait of the Eitz Hadas, now man is in a different state of being. He has been seduced. He's allowed himself to be nispated by the Atzas HaNochash, and he's no longer in Gan Eden. Now he's in a state of Golus. He's been exiled from Gan Eden, and he starts his exile. He starts his Golus. And the merida, the rebellion against God, because of the recommendation of the Nachash, the influence, the enticement of the Nachash, the achila of Eitz Hadas, puts into man a Yetzahara, a Malach HaMoves, as a result of which is going to be four Golios. So the sin of being seduced and influenced by the Nachash is going to lead and is going to generate four Golios. And each Golos, as we said before, is going to ask one question of Tumah to the Oker Amuna, and we're going to need four answers to the four questions. And those are the four questions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Adam HaRishon after the Chet. Each question has as its goal, its agenda to uplift man, to inspire man, to bring him back to Kedusha V'Tara, to somehow counter all the negative questions of Kfira and the theological theodicy questions of where was your God and all that cynicism. and Klal Yisrael are going to suffer these four Golios after the Chaita of Eitz Hadas. They're going to go through a long trip, once, twice, thrice, four times. And now Hashem is going to ask Adam V'Chava four questions, four Kushos, that correspond to the four Golios. And that means that all these questions of Lama Yomer HaGoyim Ayeinu Lehechem, this is going to be counted by the four questions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when man is misorer to do tshuva, to use the question as a springboard, as we said before, for higher levels of Kedusha, not Chas V'Shalom questions that will bring man down. And therefore, we begin to understand. So we have the four kashis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're coming to break the four klipos of the four Golios. And now we begin to appreciate why Chazal were mesakin on Leil HaPesach, that the Bonim should be asking four kashis. Because what is the month of Nisan? The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Aleph, Ben Nisan Nigalu, Ben Nisan Asidim Ligoyel. There was a Gula, there will be a Gula. There was a Gula from the Golos Mitzrayim, which was the inherently contained within it the four Golios. And this month of Nisan is a month that has a school of power to bring about the Geula from all these Golios. And therefore, the Takana was made that the Bonim on this night should ask four Kushos. And all these four Kushos are meant to create a Orusa Deliela, to be Ma'ora the person. And Hashem on high will imitate our Avoda, and He will bring about the termination of these four Golios at the time of the ultimate Geula. And basically, when the father successfully answers the Kushos, the four Kushos of the son, he accomplishes the goal of a school of power to break the klipos of four Golios. And therefore, our bracha at the end of the Avodah Mayinu, at the end of Magid, is on not only the Gulas Mitzrayim, but it's on the Gula Sido, Kain, Yavienu, Akshem Elokeinu, Sasim Usmeichim, etc. Lemodim Lergol Macherim, Baruch Roseinu, Nochal Shaman Ezvachim Vesachim, Nodlechal Shir Chadash Al Gula Seinu, Al Pedus Nafshenu. It's all about the Geula. This is the night of Geula. And so, the four questions of the Manishtana and the answer of Havodim Ayinu Lefar Mitzrayim contain within them the skula of bringing about the Geula. The mitzvah of transmitting the Torah, of answering the question of the son, is formulated by the Torah's Vishinantom Levanecha, and the Talmidim according are called Bonin. And here we begin to understand the reciprocal roles of the son asking the four kashes and the father answering the kashes with Havodim Ayinu. The son is Vishinantom Levanecha, is the Bonin, the Talmidim. The Talmidim were asking their questions, four questions. Each of these four questions, like the four questions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked the Adam V'Chava after the Chet, are misugal. They are, each and every one of them, have the potential power to project man, to project the sun, to greater and more deeper, profound levels of Kedusha, of Havanas HaTorah, of Hasogas of Torah, in a deeper way. That's what these questions are meant to be about. And the sons ask these questions on the night of Pesach, and each one of these questions has within it a power to break the Koach HaKlipos of respectively of each one of the four Golios of those questions of Tumah V'Tara. And now the responsibility, the ball is in the court of the father. He now plays the role of Kaviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as the Malamei Torah Liyam Yisrael. Now it's the father who steps into the shoes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam. He's going to be the Malamei Torah. He's going to give an answer to their questions. He's going to tell them that yes, on this night we are breaking those klipos of the four Golios. On this night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is projecting us further, b'diglo layava, with love, to bring about the ultimate geula. And basically, when the father is asking the questions, because he also reviews the Dalet Kashes, he's now being mischanein and for supplicating in front of God, Avinu v'shema shamayim, please, Hashem, bring about the answers to all our questions. Destroy the klipos of the four Golios. Let there be a fulfillment of your promise. B'nisan nigalu, b'nisan asidim ligoyel, b'nherav yameinu amein, ken yiratzon.